Okay, first of all, I want to open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just ask for your will today. Whatever you want me to say, whatever you want me to do, just use me. And God, we just thank you for coming and being here with us this morning. And I just thank you for this church. Amen. I do love the Vineyard so much. I love Jim and Patsy so much for being so supportive. I had a yard sale to raise money for a trip that I just recently went on, and Jim brought stuff for the yard sale. He loaned us tables. My mom couldn't bring the tables back, so he came and got the tables. I'll get to that. You know, Patsy's been really great to talk with me and pray with me about stuff and help me on my spiritual journey. Liz and the worship circle, they're doing music for an art show that I'm putting on that I would love to invite y'all to. It's at the Cathedral of Praise on either May 6th or May 20th. I have two shows and I don't remember, but I'll get back with you. A lot of the people in the church here, I teach art lessons. Marie lets me do art lessons. And even though this is not my home church, this church has been really good to me. And I'm really grateful. I had my first art show here with my bestie, Haley, who is also extremely supportive. So I wanted to just talk. I have something prepared, but I'm probably not going to stick to that. I'm probably just going to do whatever comes to me. Okay, so a little bit about me. A little bit about how I became a Christian. I was not raised in a Christian home. My parents were good people. I think if you met them on the street, you wouldn't have known that they weren't believers, because they were good people. But in the home, they were not taking me to church and discipling me. And I lived with my dad full time. We were very, very close. You know, I was a big daddy's girl because, I mean, he was my mom and my dad, basically. He was a politician and a businessman, so he was very busy, and he would drag me along to all kinds of stuff and give me a notebook and say, draw me something. And that's, I think, really why I love to draw so much, is because I got so much practice as a little girl. In my teenage years, we started moving some for his work, and that kind of disrupted me. And then he remarried, and then there was just his job and his new wife. And then one of the schools that we moved to was a private school, and I just couldn't make friends. Like, I just didn't make friends all year long. And in eighth grade, that was, like, the most terrible thing that could ever happen, to not have friends all day. So by about ninth grade, I made up my mind that I was going to take matters into my own hands. And what that looked like was basically just a lot of compromise. Just like, if somebody was like, hey, do you want to try this? I'd be like, sure. I mean, whatever somebody asked me to do or offered to me or suggested, if I felt like it was going to lead to friendship or companionship or anything that looked like love, I would do it. And, you know, I did that for several years, and it really wasn't very pretty. It was shoplifting. It was drugs. It was, you know, sex before marriage. It was a lot of partying, and it just continued to escalate. And I guess in 10th grade, my dad realized that I was, like, out of control, and I kept saying that I wanted to go live with my mom, so started getting in trouble at school. And my stepmom was a principal, and so it was kind of like, okay, fine, we'll let her go live with her mom. So I moved with my mom. My mom had no child-rearing experience because I was her only child, and she hadn't had custody of me. So my mom's theory was just give Alexandra lots of love without any rules. And I was already like a rebel without a cause. Like, just imagine me swimming across a pond in my underwear in the winter with, like, a street sign in my hand. Just, like, just recklessly, like, no logic whatsoever. Just going just wide open for the sake of being wide open. And my mom, you know, she didn't know how to discipline me. She didn't know how to get me to act right. So, you know, everything that I was already doing, it just went out of control. And so my junior year, I went to the beach, you know, without adult supervision with a bunch of friends. And yeah, I don't know if y'all know this about the beach, but you can do a lot more bad things at the beach. And it was like everything I'd been doing times 10 for like a week straight. And I got home and I just felt so just empty. And I had like been to church with like family members. I'd been to like judgment houses at Halloween, and like I knew about God, but I didn't know him. And so anyways, I was in my room and I just said, you know, God, I don't, and this is how I felt. This is not true, but I was like, God, I don't feel like my dad loves me. I don't feel like my mom loves me. I don't feel like my boyfriends have loved me. I don't feel like my friends have loved me. Like, I don't feel like anybody loves me. And I was like, if you will love me, I'll give my life to you. And whew, I just felt this overwhelming amount of peace in my life, that I knew that all that craziness that I'd been doing, that that's what I'd been looking for the whole time. Just the love of the Lord. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I just, by the way, I just got home from another country like 3 days ago and I haven't slept. I'm like, I still have jet lag really bad. So I'm kind of like a little more emotional anyways, I think. But I just knew immediately that that's what I was looking for, that all that madness that I was like searching, that I had found it. And luckily my personality was like, I had already been trained, I guess, from being in the drug scene, that like if you want something, you figure out how to get it. And so I just started pursuing God like I had pursued doing drugs. So anyways, I was saved for, I don't know, like 10 or 15 years. And then I went on a mission trip. And I don't think everybody is meant to have this experience. I don't think that God intends for every single person to want to move to a foreign country. I don't think that's his plan. I think he has plenty of other jobs, but I think there is a few people that he really does create them to move off somewhere. And I went to a real traditional mission trip. We went to somewhere in Central America where there's lots of poverty, and we fed the poor, and we did a medical mission, and it just kind of, it changed my heart a lot about what we have here in the U.S. How many of y'all have been like in one of these places that I'm talking about? Okay, well, one of the things that Haley goes, one of the things that made a big impact on me was when I saw the poverty there. I realized that we here, and I'm going to say in Alabama, have the resources to spread the gospel to the entire world. We don't think we do because we live above our means. Can I just say that? Can I just be honest? We do. We live very comfortable lives here in America. But we have the believers. We have lots of people here know the Lord. Lots of people. I mean, think about how many churches there are. When I look in the phone book, there's like 200 listed in the phone book. That's a lot of churches. That's a church. You know, there's more than one person in the church. And we have a lot of money in our country. I know that a lot of times we think, oh, you know, I don't have a lot of money. But in this country, we really do. We have so much here. And I remember seeing these little kids in like a little shack that didn't have a floor, that didn't have running water, that didn't have electricity. And that was their home. And I remember being overwhelmed and thinking, like, gosh, I have so much. You know, I've been blessed with so much. And I came home from that trip, and immediately God started calling me to go again. And so I went a couple more times to that place. And then a friend of mine called me to Tanzania, or got me to go with her to Tanzania. And it was like the poverty that I had seen in Nicaragua, it was like times 10. It was like people that just lived in the wilderness, people that were starving to death. I mean, it was crazy. It was, and by that time, it wasn't like, oh, Lord, you've given me so much. It was like, why have you given me so much? Why have you blessed me so much? And at this time, I was an art teacher, and I was working on my master's degree, and I loved my classroom. I mean, my kids, you can ask Patsy, like, I was, like, too obsessed with my students. Like I was, like, too into them. Like, they were everything to me. My classroom, I'd go up there on the weekends and plan lessons. I mean, I was obsessed with being a teacher. And so I would just, on my breaks, I would do missionary work. And then I went to Nepal. And Nepal, which is in, by the way, did you get that map? Did you ever find the map? Okay. Nepal is in, I didn't even know where Nepal was. This is why I'm telling y'all, because y'all might not know, because I didn't know. Nepal, do you see where India and China are? The little orange is where India, and then China's the big yellow one under Russia, which is the enormous green one. Anyways, Nepal is in between India and China, okay? Nepal is a fantastic example of an unreached country because, like, only 1 in 8 people even know someone that's a Christian. So that would be, like, if we took these 3 people right here, we took this person, and then these 3 people, let's see, that's 7, right? And then we added me, and we'll say that I'm the one that actually knows a Christian. I'm not a Christian, but I know someone that's a Christian. That's an unreached place, okay? So you can go there and you can tell pretty much anybody about Jesus, and you're working with someone that knows nothing. So that's kind of good because you have a blank canvas. The bad thing is their water is so dirty, it will make you so sick. Like, so, so sick. The water is a big problem. The transportation is a problem. Missionaries get killed just trying to get around over there. It's illegal to tell people about Jesus. You get thrown in jail. Their jails are not nice. There's a lot of complicated things about it, but it's some of the most beautiful things you'd ever see in your life. And you, in a situation like that, my experience was you see the power of God like you never see him here. I mean, because you have to kind of risk to even go there. And, I mean, you just, he's so obvious, but the enemy's pretty obvious, too. He shows up, too. Nepal was amazing. Went to China. And then I went to, like, a little training camp for missions, and they mentioned a training camp they were going to do in Europe. And I was like, Europe? I was like, people in Europe know about Jesus. Like, if you're going to Europe, you're going on vacation. That's not a mission trip. If you're not sleeping on a tent, if you're not sleeping in a tent, laying on a cot, and an elephant's coming by your tent, you're not on a mission trip. That was my mindset. And then I visited Madrid, and I realized that there is a big need there. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So let me ask you a question. Raise your hand if Madrid is the capital of Spain. Raise your hand if you would think that Spain would be like a Catholic country, because that's what I thought. I thought it was a Catholic country. I mean, just off the top of my head. Okay. It is, if you look it up online, statistically, it is a Catholic country. But a lot of their history has sort of, if you talk to people, they're not Catholic. They're like atheist or agnostic at best. Like their whole culture is kind of angry with God. And it has a lot to do with like the church, the Catholic Church, and their political system sort of joining forces and using religion to oppress the people. So they had a dictator for about 40 years that used the church to viciously oppress the people. So even though they would probably check Catholic on like a little, like a survey, their culture doesn't reflect that. Like, for example, in Spain, prostitution's legal. You can see, I'm just going to say this because there's some children in the room, you can see inappropriate videos, if you follow me, on 4 channels on daytime TV. It's like HGTV, Nickelodeon, oh my goodness, what is that? I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, that's just how it is there. Gambling, ton of gambling. There's really nowhere you go that you don't see gambling. Like, just imagine if you, you know, went down to the Dollar General on 11th and there was like a casino right beside it. Like, it's real casual. It's not uncommon to see tons of gambling. You'll go eat breakfast and there'll be like a little old man like playing a slot machine at like 8 o'clock in the morning, eating his breakfast and playing a slot machine. You can grow your own pot. there's really no, the only thing that I have found that is illegal there is homeschooling, which I find very bizarre. That's like the only thing that is illegal. So, Europe, honestly, Europe desperately needs missionaries. Desperately needs people. And here's the thing. I'm going to be like real, because I feel like I can talk to y'all like this. I just feel like y'all need to know. There is a need for third world missions. People should not stop doing third world missions. But sometimes third world missions pulls at our heart more, almost like in our flesh, because like even in Spain, the people that are lost know that you're supposed to feed the poor. You know what I'm saying? They know you're supposed to help prostituted women not prostitute anymore. Even lost people know that. You know what I'm saying? Believers, we should do that and care about people that have a great job and an education and a nice apartment. Because if they die and go to hell, it didn't matter what kind of car they drove. Does that make sense? Those people matter too. And I think that you don't hear enough about that. And that's really my heart. And I've questioned a lot, like, God, why are you calling me to this place that is so frustrating to get people to join with me? And I think the only answer that I've really felt like the Lord's given me is because you're just the kind of person that won't give up. You know, you're just like that tenacious. You won't leave people alone until they get on board with what I've asked you to do. So anyways, I have a little girl, and she's 11, and she's majestic, and she has long blonde hair and big blue eyes, and she loves me very much, and she's almost perfect, not quite, but almost. And one of the big issues that I had was where, like, I knew God was calling me to Madrid. I volunteered for 2 or 3 years over there, but I didn't know where she was going to go to school. That was, like, a big issue because the public schools are very dangerous. And when I say very dangerous, it's almost like a prison mentality. Like, the kids gang up and, like, bully each other in, like, really crazy ways. And the private schools are like $60,000 to $100,000 a year, like crazy expensive. So missionaries cannot afford private schools, and they can't send their kids to, I mean, they can send them to public schools, but it's like, I mean, would you want to move over there and send your kids to a really dangerous school? I don't think so. So they have started a school outside of Madrid. So this is kind of where this begins. So what I'm trying to accomplish is there is a school in Madrid called ECA. It's Evangelical Christian Academy. And it is a school for missionary children and Spaniards. And there's two types of missionary kids that go there. Some of the missionaries are local missionaries, like to Madrid. Madrid is 6 million people. So there's, you know, a couple of quite a few missionaries over there that send their children to this school. And then there's some children that are boarded because their parents are in dangerous countries. Like, for example, there was one little boy that spoke at chapel a couple of weeks ago when we were there. And his parents are missionaries to Morocco, which is becoming a more and more dangerous country. It's a Muslim country. And his parents had him there, you know, in his younger years. But then they moved him to ECA because their ministry was doing good, but it became more dangerous. And, I mean, that just blows my mind that you would feel so committed to what God's called you to do that you would, you know, be separate from your children. But then we have about 20% that are Spaniards. Another way, so this basically represents what I'm planning to do in Spain, the ministry that I'm planning to have in Spain. So I will work at the school during the day as a teacher. Like I said, I have a background in education. I was an art teacher for 5 years, have a master's degree in teaching. I was very dedicated. In the evenings, this represents the evenings. there's lots of opportunities to connect with Spaniards. You can teach them English. A lot of Spaniards are really want to learn English as well as the rest of the world. And what I want to do is I want to have my neighbors over for dinner. Like, I want to ask them to come over and teach me how to cook Spanish food, and then I'll teach them how to cook American food or Southern food. And then the last thing that we want to do is my daughter and I want to, you know, we have a little bit of a language barrier because I speak enough Spanish that I can get around, but I don't speak it well enough to lead someone to the Lord in Spanish. I mean, I'm just being honest. It's not there yet. So we want to create like tracks or put my testimony in Spanish on some pieces of paper. And are you raising your hand? You know Spanish? Or okay. I was like, there's a lot of opportunities in public transportation to pass out information to people. So this is like passing out tracts. It's planting seeds. This is, building relationships with people after work, you know, sort of nurturing that. And then this is the school, which is a greenhouse. And the reason why I did a greenhouse is because God kind of gave me a vision of the school nurturing those kids and like growing them up into future missionaries, if that makes sense. Okay, so a couple of stories about the trip that we just went on. By the way, does anybody have any questions? I feel like I'm just talking, and I hate that. As a teacher, I never do that. We're always having a conversation together. Does anybody have any questions? Somebody please have a question. I need somebody to have a question. Nothing so far. Okay, I was there this time for 3 weeks. Thank you. Okay, any other questions? Haley, do you have a question? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. And this leads into where I'm going next. I'm so glad you asked a question. Okay, this is hard for me. I'm not a preacher. I'm a teacher. Like, I need us all to be doing an art project right now, basically. It's hard because you're dealing with people that they know Catholicism, so they have a lot of ideas already about what it means to be a Christian. So you have to basically, in my opinion, you have to go in and you have to build a relationship with them close enough that you can talk about it. And see, when you've been like, okay, has anybody ever been wounded by somebody in the church? I have, okay? These people have been really wounded. And when you've been wounded, sometimes it's not something you, like things that you've been wounded about are not things that you normally open up initially. You know what I mean? You're not like, hey, I'm an art teacher. You know, this friend of mine, blah, blah, blah. You know, you don't normally like go straight into things you're wounded about. So you have to get to know somebody well enough that they would be willing to talk to you about things that are sensitive. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't pass out tracts and that those aren't, you know, I mean, the Bible says that, you know, you throw seeds down and 1 in 4 is good soil. You know what I mean? So, I think you still can plant seeds. But where you're really going to get the most is right here. Having people over for dinner. You know, my daughter, like, you know, if she made friends with a little girl in our apartment complex, we could go to the park and hang out. And the thing about me is I'm not going to Spain. I am going because God called me, but I'm going because I have a supernatural love for these people, like a bizarre supernatural. Like, we'll be in a restaurant and they'll be chit-chatting in their language really fast, and I'm like, that's so beautiful. And like, nobody else would think it was beautiful. Like, I have it's like an energy that I get from God to talk to them about whatever they want to talk about. Be like, tell me about what kind of TV shows you like. You know, I'm just like, I love Spanish people. Okay, so how was the trip this time? So this trip was really important. God has opened the door, like every door that's had to be opened, he's opened it. And Patsy can tell you it's been a long, crazy ride. My daughter she loves video games. She doesn't like to leave the house. She's like a lazy person. You know what I mean? You know these people that they just love. And I'm over here like, let's move to a foreign country. So I was honestly a little concerned that this was going to be a problem. You know, like, is she going to want to move somewhere else? Like, she doesn't even want to go, you know, to the circus. Like, she wants to stay at home all the time. So, anyways, we went, and she loved it. And the Lord had been telling me for months that she was going to love it. And I was like, okay, I'm going with faith here. But we got there and she loved it. So I'll tell you a little bit about the school. I told you the statistics and stuff, but because all the teachers have to raise funds, it's not a paid position, they have to raise funds to work here, they love children. In public education, not all teachers, but sometimes a few teachers, like maybe 10%, kind of make jokes about kids, you know, like, oh, they're stupid or they're annoying or whatever. You know, you have bad teachers in schools. You know what I'm saying? We've all known about the bad teacher. There are no bad teachers at ECA. Like, they are, like, cracked out on children. They're just like, I love. This one guy was like, he literally said this in a minute. He was like, I love to get to work early so that I can talk to the kids and their parents. And I was like, can I get a recording of you saying this? Like, who says they want to get to work early? Who says that? But they do. They love children. Pretty much everybody does some sort of after-school activity, like a Bible study or like an extra art club or something. Everybody's doing extra because they just love those kids and they want to see those kids be the next generation of missionaries and church planters and all that. So I guess I'm going to talk a little bit about the bad stuff. Okay, so yes, please. You know, because It's a good question. This is what I tell my daughter, because there's so many things about Spain that just don't make any sense. I went to get cell phone minutes one time, and, like, I was using, like, the minutes really fast, but then the data, like, I didn't need more data. Like, I was good on data. So I talked to the lady. She spoke English, and I was like, can I get more minutes? And she was like, no, you have to use all your data. And I was like, but I don't need more data. I just need more minutes. And she was like, no. And I was like, well, can I just give you more of my money and you give me more? No. And I was like, so what do I have to do? She was like, you have to use all of your data and then you can have more minutes. And I was like, but I don't understand. I'm trying to give you money. And there's so many things over there that you just have to be like, okay. Like, the first day we got there, there was a inflatable spider that was the size of 3 school buses that was, like, pinned to the side of a theater as an advertisement. And Cameron was like, wow. And I was like, girl, you need to just get on board with It's Madrid. It's like Alice in Wonderland here sometimes. Like, it really is. Like, you know how Alice in Wonderland, how there was so many things in that movie that were, like, frustratingly didn't make sense? That's what I feel like there a lot. Like, there's the bus schedule. There is a schedule for Monday through Friday. And then there's a separate one for Saturdays. And then a separate one for Sundays. Unless it's a holiday. And then there's another one. And, like, not, and it's all in military time and Spanish. And you never know when there's a holiday because they have more holidays than any other country in the world, I think. So it's like, why? I thought that we're here on time. It's a holiday. What kind of holiday is it? Oh, it's Cheesecake Day. It doesn't matter. So, I mean, it's just like, you just have to just take all of your expectations and just put it on a piece of paper and just throw it out the window because it's just never going to make any sense. Some crazy stuff that happened. So, pickpocketing is really bad there. My daughter's transportation card got pickpocketed day 2. So I was like, do I tell people? Because if I tell people, they're going to be like, oh, it's dangerous, don't go. So I was like, maybe I shouldn't tell people. Then I work at 2 different schools, and I was supposed to get paid, but then my paycheck didn't get deposited. So I'm like getting with my mom, and my mom has had a tooth problem. So her face was like swollen when we were FaceTiming. And I was like, Mom, you really need to get that seen about. So she's like wiring me money. She's just loaning me some money. And I was like, your face looks really bad, Mom. You need to go see about that. She's like, I got antibiotics, but I don't think they're working. So anyways, we're on our way to the center of town, which is an hour and a half from where the school is. And my cell phone gets stolen. I'm sitting there on my phone, and this guy comes up, and there's several different stops on the train, and the doors go like beep, 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 beep before they shut. And so let's say you're just on your phone and the doors are like beep, 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 beep. He just grabs my phone and he just like runs, and I'm like, iPhone. And your iPhone is like everything over there, because it's your Google Maps, it's your Facebook, it's like everything, because it's 6 million people in Madrid. I mean, it is like a web. It is like a gigantic maze. And so I was like, cell phone. So anyways, we get the money, we withdraw the money, and I'm just like, luckily my daughter had her phone, which has been dropped in orange juice and has slime in the buttons. But anyways, she's 11, so you know how that is. But so we had her phone, so we weren't completely bad. But so then I get home and I go to church the next day. It's like Easter. And then I get home from church and my mom's in the ICU from her tooth. The swelling got really bad and it like started pushing all this and like causing her to suffocate. So she was in a medically induced coma for 4 days. Then we got on the train at some point in the midst of the iPhone stealing, mom in the ICU drama. And this man asked me for money for food, and I had just got my cell phone stolen, so I was kind of nervous about getting my wallet out. And so I was like, what? And he was speaking really fast, and he got frustrated with me, and he just goes, and he just spit in my face. And I was like, and it like the spit was like coming at me in slow motion. It just just barely in my hair. And I looked at Cameron and I'm like, what's going on? But, you know, I'm glad all this happened, because sometimes people, they see like, oh, you're in Europe. You know, you're just having a ball over there. Well, let me just tell you, you know, there's some beautiful things in Europe. There are some beautiful things in Europe. But you know what? There's some beautiful things in Las Vegas. There's some beautiful things in Cancun. But there's also a lot of crazy stuff in both of those cities. So anyways, I said all that to say this. So what I have to do to go do what I believe God's called me to do, I have to raise partners, which means I have to raise people that are willing to give, like, a portion of their monthly income. Okay, so what does this chart represent? Each one of these bulls, which bulls in Spain are kind of synonymous, like, you know, the running of the bulls, fighting bulls, you know. Each one of these represents a person that would be willing to give $50 a month of their income to what we're going to do. Now, it doesn't have to be that much. This is just an illustration. We do have to have financial support to go. Like, we have to, because the school doesn't pay. It's all volunteer, and it costs as much to live there as it does here. But I said all that to say this. I'm not going without a lot of prayer support. Like, I need people's money, but I'm not going anywhere. I have made up my mind. This is at the Lord's timing, and this is at his, you know, at his discretion. Whoever he moves on, that's how we'll do it. But I'm not going unless there's a lot of people that really feel committed to pray. And I'm not just saying that because, I mean, just imagine you're in a foreign country, you get your transportation card stolen, you get your cell phone stolen, your mom goes into the ICU, and then someone spits in your face. I'm not going unless a bunch of folks is praying for me, because it's rough. I'll tell you this too, the spiritual warfare, the statistics are 1 to 500. One person saved, 500 lost, okay? When Cameron and I were with other believers, we felt amazing. It was weird. When I would be in the school, I felt like I was in church. You know how you feel when you're in worship, how you just feel like so close to God? I would feel like I was in church when I was in the school. Even if I wasn't talking about God or worshiping or even reading my Bible, I felt like I was in the Lord's presence. When we would leave the school, I was in the midst of pitch black darkness, basically. And I've heard other missionaries talk about this before, and I've always been like, that's a little beyond my level of spiritual warfare stuff. A lot of the homeless people in Madrid, not all of them, but a lot of them, have like demonic stuff on them. Like it's just, it just, like some of them have prostituted, just some stuff gets in there, okay? And you see a lot of people there that they have like just a wildness in their face. Like they just look wild. Does that make sense? And when we would leave the school and go out into town, it was like they could see it on us. Because it would be like, it was almost, I know this sounds crazy, but it was almost like me and Cameron were like glowing. And it was like they would be, and I would be like, don't, I would tell Cameron, I'd be like, don't look at people when they stare. Because it's going to make, it's going to provoke them. Like, I don't want anybody else spitting in my face today, you know? But yeah, the spiritual warfare is very real. When we would be in a big group, I would feel amazing. Like when we would hang out with the other missionaries. But when we would go out, if we stayed out for like 2 or 3 days, you know, doing stuff in the city, I would start to feel the heaviness like begin to weigh on me. And I noticed something. This is just a tip. When it started to weigh on me, I got out my Bible one night and I was like, God, I just feel like I need a word and I need like I need some, you know, I need some you. And the Lord was like, go read the words of Jesus. And as I was flipping through the Bible, it was like the part of the Bible where Jesus speaks. It was like there was more power coming out of that section of the Bible. I know that sounds kind of weird, but it really was. It was like there was more, it was like it was more potent. And it kind of got me out of it faster. But anyways, that's pretty much, I think, all I have. Can you think? Oh, the woman. The woman I witnessed to. I got to tell somebody about Jesus. I'll make it quick. 4 minutes. Is that good? Quick? Okay. I feel like I've been talking forever. My mouth is dry. Okay. Okay, so people are looking at us funny. There's some guys on the train that were looking at me and Cameron. And I was like scooting her like up against the wall, practically sitting on her because I could like sense them looking at us. We got off the train, or we were getting off, and they were like gonna get off too, even though we were going out of a different door. And I just like I utilized a lot of my teaching skills on this trip, and I just looked at them like, I see you following us, like don't follow me. So I was just like looking at him like as much wrapped around my child as I could be. So anyways, I'm just like at my wit's end. Like my mom's sick, my phone's gone, I've been spit on, people are following us and staring at us, and I'm just like, I don't know if you want me here, Lord. We get to the bus stop, and there's this girl, and like as soon as I sit down, I just like knew I was going to talk to her. I don't know how I knew, I just knew I was going to talk to her. And so I sit beside her, and I'm like, how can I start talking to her? And I noticed she had a tattoo on her hand, and I was like, oh, what's that? So she starts telling me what it is and how she got it when she was deported. And as she starts talking, I'm like, your English is fantastic. And she was like, I was actually raised in the U.S., but I got deported to Spain because I wasn't a legal citizen and my mom was Spanish. And I was like, oh, tell me about being deported. That's just really a fascinating thing. And she was like, oh, it was so scary. I was in prison or jail. I didn't know how long I'd be in there. And I was just, you know, like in my 20s, and it was very scary. So then we started talking about Spain. She asked me about why we were here. I told her I was a teacher. I didn't tell her I was a missionary. I just said I'm a teacher. Because I kind of have the policy that I don't like push people to tell them about Jesus. I kind of like just talk to them. And then like if they talk about themselves the whole time and I can't ever get like anything about me in, I just let them do it. Like, I don't pressure them and be like, hey, stop it. Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, like, I just, honestly, I kind of let them guide the conversation. And then it's really weird. Like, a lot of, like, the few times I've witnessed to people, it's almost like they will bring it somehow. So anyways, we're just chit-chatting back and forth. And then she starts really inquiring about the school. Well, how did you find this school out in the middle of nowhere? Well, how did you find out about that school? Well, did you look online? How did you know? And I was like, okay, fine. You've asked enough. It's a Christian school. I'm a Christian. You called me. And and so we said, and I was like, so are you Catholic? You know, just you tell me about you. So she starts telling me about being Catholic. And so, but then she's like, but, you know, I'm not just Catholic. Like, my dad was from here, and I have some of these beliefs. And she starts telling me how she believes that the plants and the water and the clouds and that her are all a part of God, and that it's all going to go to heaven, and that her mama told her that, you know, everybody gets to heaven their own way. And I said, well, because you, it's very delicate. You don't want to offend someone, but you want them to know the truth. So it's very delicate. So I was like, well, I was like, I agree that all of this is organic. Like, my body and that plant are both made out of organic material, and one day this body will pass away. I was like, but I don't believe that that plant is going to stand in eternity with the Lord forever. And I was like, and I believe I will. And she was like, oh. And I was like, so then she started talking about Muslims and how she felt like that they were, she didn't like some of the things that they had done. And so then we talked a little about Abraham and Sarah and the split, and we just talked a little. And then she started telling me some other stuff that she believed, and I would say, and I could tell that I was like starting to offend her a little bit, or, you know, just kind of step on her toes because we weren't agreeing. And then I was like, well, I was like, I have a really good friend that we don't see eye to eye on everything. We have a lot of differences. But one of the things I love about him is that even though we don't agree on everything, we can still talk. And I was like, I think it makes you a better person to find out about somebody's biology degree or about the Muslims that they hung out with. I was like, that makes me a better person. I was like, I don't have to agree with everything you say to enjoy talking to you. And so that kind of like calmed her back down. And then she was like, well, I believe this and I believe that. And I was like, will you ever read the Bible? Because she had said she was Catholic. And she was like, I do. And I was like, well, what I read in the Bible is that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. And so anyways, I said all that to say this. She didn't like accept Jesus right there in that moment, but we had a very good conversation about the things that she believed that were in error and other religions and how she needed to read the Bible and that that was the God and that Jesus was the only way to eternal life. And it was very delicate because, as most people in Spain, she had a lot of bad information, but like a sliver of truth. So it's like you have to go in and kind of sort out the false information and then put back in the truth. And then it was weird because she was like, oh, I love art. And she had a book, like, where she had a bunch of sketches, and she gave me one of her sketches. And then she got on her bus and she left. So I know in my heart that God picked me to talk to her, first of all, because she was an art lover, you know, and she spoke phenomenal English. But I think that something else I wanted to say is that, you know, we're all a part of the Great Commission. You know, you think about everything that Jesus endured for the cross. You know what I mean? I mean, it was a lot of stuff that he went through to pay for our sins. And basically the thing that he asked in return, the main thing was that we would tell others about what he had done so they can have what we have. And I know that, like, y'all went to a nursing home, didn't you, just recently? I mean, the Great Commission doesn't have to be going to another country and getting people spitting on you. Like, it doesn't have to be that elaborate. It can be a nursing home. You know what I mean? It can take a lot of different forms. But I do believe that we're all responsible for it. Like, once we accept everything that he went through, you know, we do have the responsibility. We don't want to show up empty-handed. So, anyways, I think that's everything I have. I can't fathom that I would have anything else. Yes. Yeah. And luckily, I have a sheet that you just fill out the sheet and then you mail it in, and I don't have those sheets. But if anybody is interested in partnering, I can write down the name of the website and my name, and then you can look it up, and then that'll give you a good opportunity to look at the covering that I have that manages all the money, because all the money that's given to me, I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's given to me, but then they, like, manage it. They parent it for me, which is good, because then you know that your money's not, you know, going on bags of Cheetos. It's Teach Beyond. And they have schools all over the world. All over the world. So you should definitely check them out. And that's it. That's all I got. Okay, no, I'm good with questions. I love questions. No, no, you can have private schools. You can't have homeschool. But now, no, it's good because ECA is a nonprofit, they have a lot more freedom than like a public or even a private school. Because in that, the fact that their teachers are all volunteers, like the fact that they can be so faith-based, and they can board, they can do whatever they want, basically. They don't have a lot of restrictions on them, but it's because they're a nonprofit. So a lot of that stems from the nonprofitness. Yes. The website is called Teach Beyond. But I would, honestly, if any of you are interested, I would love to have coffee with you or have a snack or a Coca-Cola or a sweet tea or whatever and talk more, because there's so much, you know, I mean, I know I just talk forever, but there's so much that goes into it. And let me tell you, Amy here, Amy partnered with me the first time I spoke, and that, I mean, that meant so much to me. When I would be discouraged that I didn't have what I needed, I'd be like, but Amy believes in me. You know what I mean? Seeing that name on there, that meant so much, you know, to like, you know, I have people that are committed. Does that make sense? So it means so much to me when people want to help, you know, when they want to help send us. It does. It means, I could never articulate how much it means to me. Anyways, that's it. That's all I got.